Hello, hello. Welcome to another week of this Black Girl Podcast. It is your girl, Lola, aka Ola.Miss.Lola without the H. I am accompanied by the lovely Mr.
Hello. Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm just quietly trying to save this microphone arm from falling.
I mean, you know, you're the background hero that we all appreciate. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So how was your week?
It was pretty all right, I guess. Yeah. You know, not that eventful. I learned that we won more ribs than we thought we did, which is cool.
Bro, right? Can you, guys? Okay. Side note, right off the bat, side note. We were in this low-key, mini-friendly cooking competition. And as a Black woman, I put a lot of stock into my ability and confidence to cook. I've been cooking for very many years. And my chef quality, I don't think so. But does my food slap? Absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. So we did a rib competition a couple weeks ago with some of his friends for another friend's birthday, and there was what, six ribs?
Yeah, six.
There were six different ribs, and when we'd compete, like, I'm not trying to even toot my own horn and gas up myself. I'm not capping, okay? Our ribs were delicious, finger licking, literally. I can't even say fell off the bone, melted off the bone. Like, these ribs, sorry to people who eat pork, sorry to those men, sis, but I'm sorry. These ribs were so tender, so soft. You didn't even need a knife to cut them because they were that soft. You needed a spoon to scoop up the ribs because slicing it and putting it on your plate was like a fail, automatic fail, because it would just fall apart, all right? So, and everyone we talked to were like, which ones are your ribs? Which ones are your ribs? Our ribs were the D, you know, because they were da bomb. So we're like, yeah, our ribs are D. And they're like, oh my God, your ribs are so good. Wow, they're so tender. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm not going to lie. There were a few other ribs that were also like good. In my opinion,
the guy who ended up winning actually deserved it. Made a really good rack of ribs.
I mean, okay.
I would put us like generous. Neck and neck. I would put us like neck and neck. I thought they were both really good.
Well, that's the thing. I thought his ribs are good. Because we had to vote in like order of best to what we perceived as worst.
Yeah, it was ranked choice voting.
Right.
None of this first past the post horse shit.
Exactly. So it's not like you just voted for one and done. It was like, you know, you ranked it. So I obviously ranked ours first, but if I was gonna rank somebody else ahead of us, I would have ranked this particular one because they were good. I personally thought I could use a little more salt, but they were good for what they were. They had good flavor, they weren't too dry. They didn't quite fall off the bone, but it's not like you were gnawing at it like a cave person to get it off the bone anyhow. Like, they were good ribs. I said at the place, like, if I went to, like, this is what I would expect at a chain barbecue restaurant.
Yeah, like a, yeah, I feel you.
You know, like a Swiss Chalet, maybe a Montana, maybe, like a Kelsey's, whatever.
Yeah, Outback.
Yeah, like they were good standard ribs compared to some of the other ones. So when we initially competed and got third, bro, I played it graceful and humble, eh? But in real talks, real from my lips to y'all listening in your speakers, on your phone, computer, laptop, whatever, I was pissed. I was heated. I felt robbed. Okay, I felt robbed because I'm like, no way in hell did I make ribs that literally fell apart. And people are telling me left, right, and center how they're so good, smacking their lips, licking their top, like finger licking good. And I come in third? And then the ribs that allegedly beat my ribs were supposed to be a jerk.
Can't even finish the sentence.
Was supposed to be a jerk rub ribs by non-Jamaican people. Put it that way. That's the only way I can put it. Okay? By non-Jamaican people. I was vexed. I felt disrespected.
Mainlanders, okay? No islanders.
Oh my gosh, I felt disrespected. So, I do feel vindicated knowing that, oh, our bad, we did a recount. Actually, y'all were second place. Our bad. Yeah, damn straight. Damn straight. If not, it should have been first place for the inconvenience, if I really wanted to be a Karen about it. But whatever, it's fine.
So now we all know how your week went. You had redemption, a full redemption arc.
Yes, a full redemption arc.
Yeah, you went through a whole season.
Oh my gosh. But actually, it's funny, this whole tangent kind of works into this week's topic, because like, sometimes, as much as your pride and your biases, you know, want to carry you all the way to the finish line, or wants to blind your decision making or your understanding of like what is truth or accuracy, it's important to be like objective sometimes. Because yeah. Like, yeah, of course I'm going to say my ribs are the fucking best, but I feel like they actually were the best. Personally and objectively, but irregardless. But with that being said, I can also admit when somebody else's food was good. I don't think it was as good as mine, but it was good.
You might have to ask a few times, but yeah, you'll get there eventually.
Right? But no, the food, it was good. Because like everybody was taste testing in the moment, and I was taste testing in the moment, right? So like,
sizing up the competition, yeah.
Yeah, but not even just sizing them up, just literally tasting to vote as well, right? So yeah. I was tasting, I was like, oh, this is good. Could use a bit of salt, but it was good. Like, literally, if that's the only criticism, your ribs are fucking good.
Yeah, true.
You know? So, it's important to be able to, like, call a spade a spade.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, it can apply to other things in life. You know, other moments in life. Like, I don't know. There are definitely people in my life, personally, where I don't fuck with them. Period. Like, if people are like, oh, is that blah, blah, blah? Are you and blah, blah, blah? Are you guys getting along? Are you guys good? Like, I just, like, just don't talk to me about them. No comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, if I see something that's, like, objectively not accurate, I'm also not afraid to, like, you know, say it with my chest, even if it seems to, like, I'm, quote, unquote, going against how I normally feel about a particular person or thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, the problem is too, is that people will make a lot of assumptions. People make a lot of associations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people will ask you about how you feel about, like, something like gun control, and then think they know how you feel about something like healthcare. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, people have these really wild associations. And I find myself in that position a lot where, like, people will ask my opinion on something. My opinion might surprise them.
Mm-hmm.
But then usually when I break it down and, like, explain to people how I got to where I got to,
yeah,
they'll usually be like, oh, this is actually, like, makes sense and isn't a crazy left-field hypocritical kind of thing.
Well, that's the hypocritical thing, I think, is, like, the biggest thing for me, because so you'll have some people, because they just don't like someone or something or whatever they represent, they have to completely hate everything all yeah. the way down. And like, I don't believe in that. I try mm-hmm. to at least, like, you know, give what's due to Caesar, give, you know, call a spade a spade. Like, I may not, like, for example, I may not always be the biggest fan of the artist Kanye West, or formerly known as Kanye West, now known as Ye, whatever. But I can objectively say, like, he has great fucking music.
Yeah.
You know? For example, disclaimer, okay? Please, because I don't want no barbs coming after me. Nicki Minaj does some questionable fucking shit that makes me look at her kind of side eyes as a person. But as an artist with an amazing talent and, like, you know, trying to revolutionize how, like, her empire and stuff like that. Like, I rate it. I like her music. You know, Freaky Gal just came out. I like the song's okay.
I'll even go one step further with this one in particular. Is like, if you don't want to be, if you're like here out here to be a Nicki hater, Nicki has plenty of songs for you to hate on too. Nikki's great, but her like a lot of people, like, she does not have the most consistent musical archive. It's not like every single thing she makes is a banger. She's got some stinkers in her library.
Yeah, but I'm just
and
saying,
if you
I'm
and just... if you and you know, there are people who will go out and they'll be like, oh, Nikki, she can't do anything. Look at this song. Look at this song. And then you bring up the bangers, and they're like, you can see their whole face just twist up, and then they end up looking like fools because, like, everybody knows that this song is good.
Right, but what I'm trying to say is, like, there's, like, the objectively, like, problematic shit. Like, for example, her paying for her brother to have a legal counsel defense when he's been, like, when the allegations are made that he raped a child.
Yeah.
And, like, found his fucking semen in this kid's underwear, allegedly. Because I don't know how the case figured out. I just, like, noped out of that shit. But just knowing those things, it's like, ooh. Like, I understand you want to have your brother's back because that's your brother. But, like, that shit's fucking foul.
Yeah.
You know, like, how can you... And then people say, well, how can you support somebody who does that? And it's like, fuck. Like, it's hard because you don't want to group everything together. And that's where I'm like, I can acknowledge that, like, Nicki Minaj is a great artist. She's contributed a lot to this, to, like, the rap genre, period, outside of just being a female rap artist. And, like, you know, she's made incredible strides and she's very talented. But I can also look at her and say, like, she's done some questionably foul fucking shit. And some people can't have the two coexist. Because, like, there are, like, completely blinded stands that are just like, Nicki Minaj can do no wrong, everything bad about her is fake news, Barbs for life, fuck you, blah 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 blah, you know?
Yeah.
And like, even with the Beehive, I love me Beyonce, I've been playing that album nonstop. You know, like, Renaissance has a fucking chokehold on me right now, okay? But, like, would I call myself, like, Beehive? No.
Well, and also, like, you know, with Beyonce specifically, like, I think back to her posing with Tiffany's with a Basquiat. That's problematic to me. There's, right? Like, to me, like, knowing, I'm not, like, exact, you know, like you, like, I don't necessarily, like, know every single thing. I'm not, like, a huge Basquiat nerd or fan or whatever.
Right.
But knowing a little bit of that stuff and how he thought about things, I don't think he would stand for that. I think he would call moral rights on that and pull his piece out.
I mean, that's fair. Fair. There, and again, it goes back to the questionable things that it's like, are you so enamored with something or someone that you can't look past, like, you can be blinded to their faults.
Right.
And it's just like, I don't think anybody is above criticism, and I don't think everybody is above questioning. Do people deserve grace? Of course. But, like, no shade. Like, Beyonce's fine. If one person doesn't like her, I'm pretty sure she's sleeping bare well at night. Same thing with Nicki Minaj.
I don't know about Nikki. I feel like Nikki's not sleeping as well as I know when she knows she's got haters out there, but that's fine.
Look, don't worry. She's fine.
She's an artist, so she's sensitive about her shit. Whatever.
She got her Papa Bear. She got her little baby. She's fine.
Yeah.
She'll be fine. But taking it more small-minded, because we're talking about big artists who got big bucks and whatever. Like, how do you handle that piecemeal situation with, like, friendships, like people you actually know in real life, because we all know these people.
You mean like people? Yeah, I mean,
like, friends and family, for example.
That could be a really tough one, like bringing up something that you think your friends and family are really fucking up on.
Yeah,
and that you think they're just, like, totally handling wrong. I don't know, maybe it's a little easier for me because, like, my family was not, like, a very lovey-dovey family growing up. Like, they're a family that was already pretty critical of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's not that hard for me to go in. But I will say, like, I've been on both sides of it, and it can get really tough when it feels like you have that friend, and no matter what they do, they always seem to make the same mistakes over and over and over again.
Bro, yeah.
And it's like, I can't literally sit you down and try to talk to you for 4 hours about why this is dumb,
mm-hmm.
and why the stuff you're doing right now is stupid, mm-hmm. because, like, I have my own life to lead.
Yo, facts.
But you also don't want to just be a nag and be like, you shouldn't do that, and then just leave it, you know?
And that's the other thing, because, like, I was going to say, like, with some of my friends, I'll say, like, one friend, I guess, in particular, they didn't like the fact that, like, if I was calling them out on their shit I've had some friends that just want to stir shit. They just want to stir shit. They want to be starting something, you know, giving Michael Jackson, and just, like, be on their moments. And they don't necessarily want a talking to. They don't want to be talked off the ledge. And those moments have taught me that, like, bro, if you see them wanting to jump, just, like, take two steps back and just be like, bro, it was nice knowing you. And just kind of, like, exit stage left, because they'll drag, like, those people, if you're on the edge trying to tell them get off the ledge, they might just pull you off with them. And I'm not trying to jump.
I mean, like, you know what else the other problem is, too, is that a lot of times people kind of approach these kind of things.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, you're dumb and here's why. But the problem is, for most people, is, like, it's not that they're not thinking about it straight. It's that, like, the way they think about it is
makes
weird.
Perfect sense. Yeah. Well,
it makes perfect sense to them.
Yeah.
But, like, when they try to, like, explain it to you, it kind of feels like everything's like, wait, what? Like, everything's kind of falling apart. You know?
Absolutely. And so, I don't know. I've just learned now that when I hear crazy shit and they're propositioning and saying, oh, well, I'm going to do this, A, B, 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 C, C, D, whatever. I'm like, I just say, like, I personally wouldn't do that for my own reasons, but you're grown, and I'm sure you've thought about this. Good luck.
What I absolutely hate is, like, and I get this a lot as someone who, like, tried to be successful in the arts and then eventually found success.
Yeah.
People come to me and be like, I've got this plan to do this creative thing. I've got this plan for writing. I've got this plan for art. I've got this plan for videos or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's cool. But is this really the best place for you to put your effort in? And, like, the clapbacks you get from that are, like, so bad. Like, so many excuses. There are so many people who, like, you know, they'll tell you they're only, like, this one thing, this one camera, this one mic away from doing the stuff they want to do. But then they get it and they don't do it anyway. You know what I mean?
Oh, bro, yes, you're triggering me right now, because I have that person in my life that's just, like, always on the brink of doing something, some new venture, some new idea, some new nothing, and, like, can never get started. Well, and like,
ooh. And here's the worst part too, right? Is that, like, sometimes you'll sit there and it feels like you're taking crazy pills, because you'll start to see, like, a pattern in some person's behavior, and you'll try to explain it to them, and it's just like, whoosh, like, no traction, smooth brain, has no idea.
I love when you say that.
You know, just, like, it just completely just washes through them and just does nothing, absolutely takes.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, you have a habit of doing A, B, and C. Like, okay.
The perfect example is what we're talking about right now. A lot of times these people who are doing stuff to do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they'll come up with all these projects that don't fall through. But the truth is, like, they're made to fail. They're made so that they can fool themselves into thinking they're doing some busy work where they're actually doing something, rather than doing the real scary work of, like, actually dream chasing.
Oh, bro, it's even worse than that. It's you have to take it a step back. It's immersing themselves in the fantasy of the fantasy, and not actually putting the steps into making it a reality, because they're afraid of taking that real step and possibly failing.
Yeah.
Oof, that one's, like, it's awkward.
And the worst part is a lot of times it's, like, the first step of a 2-year plan.
And that's the real thing. Like, a lot of people don't realize when they do something, start their own business. Like, I know TikTok and social media and all of that stuff makes things look, like, super easy. That, like, oh, put out a product and in 30 days you can be making a 5-figure salary and be making 6 figures in 6 months. And, like, that's not always true. That's maybe for the 0.05% of people.
Yeah.
But most people who start a business, work for themselves, do something, like, it takes years.
Well, I was gonna say, you know what it really is like in anything kind of creative, it's like a lot of the times you're really buying your ticket and then kind of seeing what shakes out. And there's some people who like just get into the creative stuff.
Yeah.
And it turns out they got a winning ticket early and there you go and they can jump on it.
Yeah.
But the thing that a lot of people don't realize when they're in it is like it almost never happens as fast as you think, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And also the people who do it really fast have the exact same plan as the people that it takes a decade for their career to take off. And that's that they're on the grind. They're doing what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when an opportunity comes onto it, they grab it by the throat and ride it to the ground.
Right.
You know, like
yeah.
Perfect example, like Jake Paul figured out how to game the YouTube algorithm for a while there with his brother.
Yeah.
He's a dumbass. There's no way he figured out how to do it. He just saw what was working and said, I'm going to do that, jumped on the opportunity and rode it out.
That's fair. Yeah.
And that's still what he's doing to this day. He doesn't have a plan. He just sees things happen to him. He says, this could work. And he jumps on it.
I mean, that's fair. And a lot of people are scared to do that because they're scared to fail.
Yeah.
But, like, when you do fail at something, it's a learning opportunity. And a lot of people don't see that.
Yeah.
They see it as, like, oh, well, things are against me. Haters are against me. People are against me. If you date somebody and it fails, oh, that person was shit, blah, blah, blah. Instead of, like, taking from those experiences to kind of, like, develop and hone what you want.
Yeah, especially because, like, I mean, like, you know, we were talking about Nikki a little bit before. Like, here's the truth of it. Like, Nikki, like I was saying, like, I don't think her library or her discography has, like, the most consistent record. But guess what? Nobody fucking remembers your stinkers. The stands don't care, and the fans who like you only listen to your hits anyway.
Right.
So, like, what were you so scared about putting out a bad track? You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Like, there's no point in crying over one bad track when you have, like, literally a dozen of good ones.
Well, yeah, especially if you're really trying to, like, chase a career in something. It's like, this is only going to be one of a lifetime of pieces, you know?
But I think the other part of that where it's just, like, what really matters as well is enjoying what you do. Because, like, a lot of people that fail off the top are in getting involved in something for the wrong reasons. Like,
absolutely.
For example, like, people that are chasing crypto, people that are, you know, doing certain businesses and stuff because of the money. And then because the money doesn't come right away like how they expect it, they just drop it like a hot potato. Oh, that's shit. That's a scam. That's this.
Absolutely. And you know what's funny is that I see a lot of people who try to do that with their creative stuff because they'll see, like, oh, I like to do X and Y as a hobby.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'll try to spin that into, like, not maybe not necessarily all my money, but, like, a side business. But then even the side business doesn't take off, and they jump off of it. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, because you did it for 3 months.
Yeah, like I don't...
It's nothing. It's like, no time at all. No, like,
absolutely. Absolutely. And that's definitely a huge thing. Like, the one thing I kind of caught on somewhat early, and when I say early, like, for me, I want to say, like, 4-ish, 5-ish years ago. And maybe that's when I should have started my own business. But I just felt like I didn't have the resources, the opportunity. When I know now, I could have. But it's okay. Irregardless, like, I noticed certain, I don't want to call them influencers, but certain people, certain artists, like, either whether they're on YouTube or doing fashion, doing whatever, I was following them from, I guess, quote unquote, before they were big, but, like, they were grinding and doing their shit for years. And, like, they would get a little opportunity here, a little opportunity there, and they would kind of fizzle out, but they were still consistently working on their shit.
Yeah.
And then now, when they're, like, 8, 10, 12 years in the game, they've had great opportunities essentially blow up for them. And so it looks like they blew up overnight when really it's, like, this has been a fucking decade in the making.
Yeah, it reminds me of, do you remember when that German guy came out in Inglourious Basterds, the Tarantino movie? And he, like, in his first role immediately won an Oscar, and people were like, this overnight success.
Oh my god,
and
yeah.
Meanwhile, he's going in interviews talking about how he spent, like, 20 years on the grind on German TV that nobody watched and cared about.
Yeah.
Until eventually he got his big role and everything worked out for him.
Yeah, and
but it's
and
the
it's,
same thing.
It's cons- it, that's something that's consistent. So it's like, the one message I want to share with anybody is, like, keep going.
Well, and you know, and to kind of reiterate on that too, it's like the other thing is too, a lot of people will start with nothing mm-hmm. and expect to have an incredible, successful, special career.
Yeah.
And it's like I'll be honest, like if you're on YouTube, let's be real, the lifespan of the average successful YouTuber, like someone who actually makes some money on it, it's like 2 years. And then it stops. Like, you know what I mean? Like even like people yeah. be like, oh, I wanna go on Twitch and stream. Bro, the average Twitch stream has like 300 people watching it. They don't even have they're not even breaking 1,000.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if you're coming out here and you're expecting to have 3,000-4,000 people on your Twitch stream, you're expecting to have an incredible career.
Off the jump, yeah. When and it's that, like,
that's totally unrealistic. That's yeah. the worst idea ever for a business plan. Like
absolutely, absolutely. And like, and the other part is a lot of people don't realize what like even the smaller numbers mean, because a lot, like you said, like some people be like, oh, I want to be a YouTuber. I want to do this, and they have like, you know, 500 subscribers.
Yeah.
After a year, and then they're like, oh, well, this is bullshit, and they quit.
But
and
those are like, actually like great numbers, like great growth rate. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a great growth rate. Like, bro, if you can get 10,000 subscribers in 1 year, that's psychotic.
Yeah, with no presence, you have to get really lucky with that.
Right, you know, like same thing with Instagram, you know, which, by the way, follow us on Instagram at This Black Girl Podcast. You know, having that kind of organic, natural growth and just having, like, going from 0 to, like, 1,000 is work.
Yeah.
You know, like the podcast page, for example, we're almost at, like, 700.
Yeah.
And that's been, what, a year and a half?
Something like that.
Something like that, you know? So, it's not easy. I could easily buy bots, but, like, who's doing that? For what?
Yeah.
For fake? Like, I don't need to be those people with 50,000 on their page, but when they post a picture, they get like 3 likes because nobody's real.
Yeah, it's very strange sometimes, because sometimes you'll even get people that are like doing better than they think they're doing, but like they haven't really done like the research to figure out how good they're doing.
Yeah,
and it's funny because it's like this all reminds me of like shout outs to anime. There's this anime called Mob Psycho 100.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about, like, this little nerdy kid who's got, like, psychic powers, and it's a great series, but at one point, like, he kind of, at one point earlier in the series, he has the option to, like, join another nerd group or join the jocks,
mm-hmm.
and he joins the jocks, and for the rest of the series, he's going out there trying to work out every day, and some of the other people that are with him, like, they're all friendly with him, they're not mean with him or anything, the jocks that he goes with. But they're all kind of like, oh, you know, you're not, your growth rate isn't that good, whatever, you're not seeing the best results. But the captain is like, what are you talking about? This is the time when the results are the worst and he's trying the hardest.
Yeah.
If you don't watch him, you don't watch your back, he's going to race past you. Because when he actually starts getting results and it's easy, he'll already be set.
Yeah. I mean,
and some people don't even realize that they're like in the same situation where like they're actually going incredible. It's just that they need to realize where they're at and that they're a beginner and that this is where they are and they can't expect to have like Joe Rogan numbers even 2-3 years into your career.
Yeah, absolutely. That's also a very important thing, because Joe Rogan has been doing this shit for like what, 10 years?
Oh my god.
And now he's blowing up.
The worst people for this?
Yeah.
100% artists. When I went to art school, there were so many people I knew that were like, I want to be able to draw like this guy, and they're like literally in art school, not even have started their career, comparing themselves to animators and artists who have been in the game for 30 years. Looking at their work when they're like four, like they're 60-year-old master painters because they spent the last 40 years painting every day of their lives, and they're like, "Why can't I paint like this?"
Thanks.
Yeah, and it's like, "Gee, why not? Why can't you?"
I wonder what went wrong there. I mean, like, and here's the thing, like, also like in that type of world, and when you're competing with people, and you feel like, you know, you'll see other people and having, like, growth and success, and you're like, damn, why isn't my shit like that? Or you think, my work is better than their work. How come my work isn't blowing up like how their work is?
Yeah.
And that's when you don't have that weird, like, hater shades or whatever on. Like, that's when you kind of, look objectively and take yourself out of the equation, take your biases out of the equation. You're like, okay, this person's considered my competition. They're kind of in the same lane as me. Like, what are they doing that I'm not doing? And you take fucking notes, bro. You take notes. You see, is that working for me? Is that not working for me? And I'm not saying a copy, because when you copy somebody, people will know. Like, well, you and know, sometimes, like, sometimes, find a way to make it your authentic voice.
Yeah, and sometimes you want to take notes to see what's out there so that you know what your niche is. Like, it's not because you want to copy someone. It's because you want to find your lane.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to say. Like, you refine, you see, like, okay, well, they do well with doing live IGTV or going on live, like, every week. Like, I don't have that time. I don't have that thing. But, like, let's say I can always put out one video a week. So then you record your video and you post it weekly so that you have weekly visual content for your people. Like for example, who is it? Is it Ketnibs? They always make those cute little animated stories. Yeah. So just to keep people entertained and engaged, because they know, like, people aren't always going to be seeing their posts.
Yeah.
Like, I and see also, their stories more than I see their posts.
Bro, and also, like, fucking, those animations, the animation takes a long time. Like, even getting, like, something that's, like, 30, 40 seconds, something that's, like, simple will take you, like, half a week.
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I saw you friggin' storyboarding, and that took forever. You're still not done.
Well, I'm also not good at it yet. Early career. Don't be afraid of me. These professionals who are ripping out frames every 10 minutes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
But with that saying, it's just like when you have these weird biases and you're not able to kind of look at people and look at things objectively, like even with like brands, when you see, for example, like I hate with a passion, people will look at your, like, let's say you're a design. I'm going to use my thing because I'm really trying to pivot back into custom fashion design rather than just, like, generic big box brand. Because, like, you know what? There is a lot of big box. That's great. There's a lot of boutiques. That's great. But, like, I like doing my custom shit.
Yeah.
It brings me much more joy. It fits my lifestyle. It fits my situation. So, I understand that about myself. I'm not, like, I hate when people look at something that you've made. Oh, that dress is so pretty. How much are you charging? Oh, a dress like this might charge, you know, might be about $300, maybe $350, $375, whatever. Oh my gosh, that's so expensive. I can get that on AliExpress for $50.
Guess you're not my clientele then.
Thank you. I hate that when they compare you to Walmart, they compare people to, you know, AliExpress. All that stuff. It's like, if that's the case, go to AliExpress. Yeah. If that's what you're looking for, go to them. If you want to make sure that you have a certain type of quality and something that you're happy with and something that's locally made, then work with me. But just know that there is certain budget. Like, have the budget for it. If you don't have the budget, just say that. If you just want a t-shirt, just say that.
Yeah.
But don't ask me for a full-length gown and then get mad at the full-length gown price.
Yeah.
Like, that's what gets on my nerves. Like, when they ask commissions, I see it on Reddit all the time, choosing beggars. Oh, can you give me a realistic oil painting done in fucking 4K of my dead grandfather, restored from 1947, painted on a 36 by 24 canvas? Can you do it for, like, $10?
Bro.
Like, respectfully, go play in traffic. Like, actually, like, it's so...
Doesn't even cover materials.
That's so disrespectful. That's so disrespectful to just not give a shit about somebody's time. It's ridiculous. But, like, but if Walmart's giving out fucking prints, photocopied prints on a fake canvas, printed off of a printer, printed in mass, shipped from China... Done by the 10,000, so it costs them 10 cents per print, and they're selling it to you for $5. Oh, what a great deal. Walmart sells something similar for $5. Okay, so go to fucking Walmart.
Well, and you want to know the difference?
That's all you're telling me.
Do you want to know the difference is, too, is that Walmart probably paid, like, $5,000 to $6,000 to get the rights to the thing that they're reproducing anyway. Like, that's the funny thing, too, is that, like, actually, if you took it step by step, it's probably very expensive to get this thing too. It's just that, like, the costs are divided up by mass production.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, local artists and local designers don't have mass production. And even so, the whole point of doing something locally with a local artist is to not have something that's like everybody else's.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like the fact that you don't see the value in that is just... That's weird. That gives smooth brain energy. If nothing else, like, it really gives smooth brain energy. I hate it.
You know what's funny is that I often get the same kind of problem from reverse.
Yeah.
Where people will be like, oh, you do art for this and this. Oh, you need some money. Why don't you go look for commissions? Why do you do this? And I'm like,
yuck.
Guy, because I could, like, if I put a little bit of effort and have a little bit of patience and go for a different kind of job, it pays 10 times as much. So why would I be out here scrambling and do all this work for fucking pennies? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's... But the trouble with it is that a lot of times it's because people kind of... They have their narrow perspective, but then they think that they're an expert or that they know something. And they kind of try to give their opinion and their advice unsolicited when it's like, hey, guess what? I actually know what I'm doing. And hey, guess what? I actually have a plan for this. And I figured things out a little bit. And I'm not necessarily looking for you to come in and, like, armchair tell me how to run a business.
Bro, everybody with a smartphone and access to Google thinks that they're an expert because they can Google something. And they don't, like, and I'm not gonna say that, like, I've never done it. Yes, I've definitely Googled something and thought that I knew, had a good idea. But I know that as I get older and understand things, I know, like, I don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, even when we were talking about all the festivals that got fucked up last weekend.
Yeah.
Left, right, and center. The first thing that popped in my brain when people were talking about, how did this happen? How did this happen? Like... I've done events for years.
Yeah.
I've done events for literally like over 10 years now. So it's like when I see events that go wrong, like certain things pop up in my head that other people aren't actually going to think of.
Yeah.
You know, like for example, event insurance. Do these people have event insurance? Because if so, you should be able to claim on certain things and when things get damaged. Right. But if you don't have it, then that would explain maybe why they're reluctant to provide refunds or to handle certain things.
Yeah, you know? And everything in entertainment is like at least four times as expensive as you think it would be. You see like a little piddly sign and you're like, oh, that's nothing. It turns out it's like $400.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess the takeaway from this whole weird rabbit hole of a conversation is like, you know, don't be biased. Maybe be a little humble.
Yeah.
Sometimes
people are going to come up and they're going to tell you something that's true that you don't want to hear.
Yeah, you know, and if something seems like it might be a bad idea, it's maybe worth a revisit.
Yeah.
It's maybe perhaps worth a revisit, a second thought.
If you're sitting there and you're thinking like, hey, is this a good idea? That's probably a good time to sit and think about whether or not it's a good idea.
I mean, right? Like, I know I personally have been guilty of being like, I know I'm crazy, but blah, blah, blah. But, like, sometimes you need to think about that. Like, are you actually just being crazy? Or have you gotten given some good thought to what you're about to do?
Yeah. You know, and it's tough these days because there's so much main character energy out there in the world now.
Really and truly.
And, you know, sometimes you just got to realize that you're not the expert and you're not the main character and you just need to...
sit down.
Be humble.
Right? Actually and truly. Oh my gosh. But we're going to wrap this up. Thank you again for joining us for another week. Just a reminder that there is 2 more episodes, and we will be on a small hiatus for the rest of the summer. We'll be coming back in the fall with season 4. So make sure you are caught up on all of season 3. All of season 3 is available on all streaming platforms without ads. That means when season four starts, all of these episodes that you want to revisit will have ads to them. They may not have a lot of ads, but they will exist. So if you want to keep enjoying ad-free content prior to the hiatus, make sure you take your time, enjoy, listen, get caught up, you know, catch the vibe.
Yeah. It's called binge watching. We support you.
Yes, that's the one thing we just you don't have to think twice about.
Yeah.
But with that being said, thank you again for joining us for another week. Like I said, my name is Lola. You can find me on the Instagrams as ola.miss.lola. You can find me or find the show on Instagram and on TikTok at This Black Girl Podcast. You know, drop us a DM. Make sure you rate us on, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Samsung Podcasts.
Wherever your quality podcasts are sold.
Exactly. And have a wonderful week. We love you. Bye. Bye.